Hello, my name is Carol May Wittig and welcome to Her Conversations, Tools for the Awakening Woman. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. This is the optimal state to embody to attract our highest desires. Who's the awakening woman? She is the woman who's seeking a greater possibility in her reality and looking for solutions. She knows being awakened is not a lofty ideal but a necessity. If she can transform herself, she can change the world. Her conversations will introduce you to talented women who will speak to your spirituality, sensuality, soul. They'll share their stories and explain how they are in service to the world. So let their words and these conversations embolden and inspire you. My guest this week is artist Pochette. Even though society is recognising and appreciating the value of authentic expression and phrases such as do you or be yourself become commonplace in our language, most people will still have no idea what that means in their own lives. This is why I as a creator love to speak to other creators, because they will truly understand what it is to live in their personal truth and have discovered a way of presenting their perspective to the world. It's imperative that these unique perspectives are explored, not only to see another's work, but to prompt us to do the same. During our conversation, Pochette shares how her art is a connection with spirit, the way that her work is mentoring her, and how world events are bringing forward a new form of expression. But first, I start by asking all of my guests. HER is an acronym for Higher Energetic Resonance. When do you feel at your most HER?
I feel at my most HER, quite truly, truthfully and honestly, I feel at my most HER now. It's taken me a little while to get into that soft spot, but it feels really good. Okay, I'm there now. It feels really, really lovely. And it's basically just getting away from the nerves, the tension, the stresses of everyday life. And it's going into a meditative space so that you feel calm, relaxed, and actually kind of neutral. When you asked me the question previously, I was thinking, you know, what is that? What is the higher frequency? And I know it, and yet as human beings, we have to keep asking ourselves what this actually is. And, you know, it could be all sorts of different things, and we express it in many different ways. But I feel that it's just a tapping into your higher source. I feel that the easiest way to be there is to breathe. And I feel like the breathing point is, it's kind of breathing in the ethers, and you feel like you're breathing in the unknown, and yet it feels, by the time you breathe it out, it's so refreshing and you think, I have no idea what I just breathed in there, but it's so beautiful. And I think when we get on to our day-to-day lives, we forget that we're doing this all the time. And it's actually God-given, and it's our gift to breathe, to be alive, to be experiencing the senses. So the way I most easily tap into this is through my artwork, my art form. Ever since I can remember, as a child, I would sit quietly and doodle and sketch. And I was lucky enough to be born through two parents who are artists. And so I was encouraged to bring the side of myself out. And it's taken many, many years of tutoring. I went to school to study art, but I feel that my parents taught me so much. And interestingly enough, from both hemispheres of the brain as well. So, you know, my father taught me how to paint very realistically and to study the shadows of things and the light, the highlights, and to make it look as real as possible. And my mother said, just free yourself, just do exactly what you feel, you know, let it come from a place that you feel your most, you know, where your enjoyment is. And she was a very abstract type of artist. So it was fascinating growing up in this world. And I feel that I'm almost going into a place where, I don't know, I'll probably just carry on talking now because there's other things coming out. And it's interesting going back into a place where, again, memories are stored because you are thinking about your childhood. And I've noticed that in our life, we tend to either be focusing on what's happened in the past or what's going to happen in the future. And these things can either really kind of stress us out or, you know, make us feel really excited, or emotions are always very present. So again, what makes me feel most hurt is to actually be in the present, because that's the gift. And it's bringing us back to that place of actually it's all one long moment. And if we look at our past and our future, we're creating it and recreating it all the time. And we're storytellers. We're all storytellers, and we're expressing ourselves through our memories and probably our imaginations of what the future holds. So in this very moment, we can create anything we want to. So it's a very powerful place, just to remember the power of her. So thank you for bringing that into existence. It's a wonderful place, actually.
Fantastic.
Remember.
Thank you for answering as well, and being so deep with your answer as well. I think sometimes we forget that there is that expansion that where we can go, and because our lives get so busy and you get so bogged down with that every day, there is a part of us can actually be this her, and we don't need, I mean, we need idols and we need people as examples of like what the expansion of that is, but even those will never actually match how we're going to feel. You know, you can kind of live vicarious through other people, but as with yourself and with your art, you can only ever really truly experience it when you find out what it is for yourself. And there's no right or wrong answer, because we're all finding it in our own way.
Absolutely. And,
you know, you talked about you were lucky to be born with parents that recognized your gift and actually nurtured your gift as well. When did you really start to delve into finding your signature, your style of art, and understanding what you were actually expressing?
That's a really good question. And I feel that the signature has been something that is constantly evolving over time. So I feel I have to go back into it's a story that's been unfolding. And the signature is getting stronger and more pinpointed and more defined. And it's actually about, I'm realizing more and more that the more I let go and let the essence of nature work through me, the more the signature strengthens. And that's quite a paradoxical space to be at, because it's actually, I think when you find yourself in art eventually, and I'm finally getting to understand that space, it's a journey of self-discovery. So I don't think that there's any specific point. There's many points where the signature has felt that it's kind of connecting the dots and strengthening itself. And even though I feel I know a lot about art, I still have a lot to learn and a lot to journey, and that makes it a really exciting place to be. So right now, with that question, it's interesting because I actually feel like I'm a little baby again, being reborn into the world of art and learning. in a new way. I had my father pass away last Christmas, and it felt as though the most beautiful thing actually happened, because he was in a lot of suffering and pain. And when he passed, it was like this huge release, and he is now with me in a very different way. And what's been happening is, I actually had a dream about him that he was painting. When he was in hospital and he was unconscious, I was asked to speak to him, and I would just talk to him about his paintings and say, "Dad, you know, I really hope you're still painting, you know, and paint your pictures, and you just keep painting." And I had this amazing dream that he was in this space, this big sort of ruined house, but it was kind of like this old castle somewhere, very theatrical. And he was painting and painting and painting, and he's still painting. And that's always how he's been. He just churns it out. But now it's more him getting in tune with himself and tapping into so many things that he wanted to while he was living. So recently what's happened is I'm focusing a lot more on geometric forms, because one of the first things I can remember about my father is in his teachings was he wanted me to learn how to draw a geometric star. And it was a four-pointed star. And I wondered why there was always one point missing, because I liked the number five. And I realized that in his passing, that four is all about strength and stability.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been applying a lot more geometric forms in the artwork, and it brings me close to a new state of being and feeling close to this new essence of what my father is.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways it's quite incredible, because I actually feel closer to him now that he is in spirit form. So it's a very good connection, and it's given me a lot of strength. So I feel that this is probably where the rebirthing is coming in.
Mm.
And I'm in this place of awe and wonder, and given a new sense of life just learning.
Thank you. And there's a number of questions I want to ask from that. The first one is, I know we spoke before and we both have experienced parents passing in recent times as well. And what I picked up on you just saying recently was that now that he's passed, you feel more of a connection with him than ever when he was physical. Is that right? Am I not putting words in your mouth?
No, I can understand exactly what you're saying, and it's a difficult one to answer, but actually at the same time it's very simple. I have really upset memories of my father, but I choose to remember the really good times, and those were the times where we shared so much, and it was through the artwork. That was our connection, was through the art, and he taught me incredible things. My mother still teaches me a lot. I think with my dad's passing, because he was an alcoholic, our family was a creative, incredible inspiration of a family, and also insane, manic, sort of, there was always a lot of turmoil as well. And my mom suffered because of that. It's a different understanding. I feel that maybe the father that I always wanted, and now that he's in the spirit realm, I've realized I still have him. And that is such a beautiful experience. And I have him in a different way. And because the connection was always through art, I feel like I'm learning in a whole different realm now, because he is in such an incredible space. Mm-hmm. He's in omnipresence, and that's lovely. It's elevated. And he is in her. It's an incredible place to be. And I think that it's wonderful because, you know, the her resonance is just as much an important part of male transformation as well. And I'm seeing this more and more in men, that they're going through these amazing experiences in their lives and becoming more gentle, but also more firm and kind of more what they are supposed to be, which is, it's wonderful to see that.
Mm. And I think it's a revelation for many men who choose to allow the change to happen within them. I think we're seeing so many different things now. I mean, there's a big trial that's happening literally as we're speaking now in America. Mm-hmm. Whereas the men that don't want to go with the change yet are still holding on to this very archaic idea of what it means to be a man, and a lot of the time it's kicking and screaming, and the more we're kind of like softening, but we're strengthening at the same time.
Absolutely.
Because we're not in defense of this kind of old ideal that men are this and women are the weaker sex. We're realizing if we kind of soften and expand, that we're taking up more space and we're stronger in that way. Mm. And men are kind of fighting it. And it's you're really seeing, almost the way that it looks to me is you're seeing little boys fighting for their toys, you know.
Yeah.
and then the ones that choose to grow are the ones that are, the roles are being reversed in a way where men are kind of being more allowing of women, and as women are kind of realizing, oh, actually we weren't, you know, we had the power all along, you know, like the literal Wizard of Oz.
It's a whole reprogramming again, and having a good look at ourselves and what it is to be human, and on both sexes as well as you know, the sort of unfortunate politicians, you're not showing this, you're seeing it broad daylight, loud and clear, you know, what it is to actually get over all of that stuff. And it's interesting, because I think that, you know, now with technology and being able to see so many different parts of the news, we're not just being brainwashed by what we think we're, you know, supposed to be doing. We have an open spectrum of what there is, and we can delve deeper into what's real and what we find to be our truths.
And also have a platform as well to not only see what's out there, but then stand up and go, this is my opinion. And
absolutely.
Everyone's got their moment to, you know, even with this podcast, everyone's got their moment to actually like be heard and have a space in the world, which is really good for everyone. You mentioned that you like the number 5. Was there a particular reason? Why?
Oh, wow. I didn't think you'd ask that question.
I'm always listening.
It's interesting. I've always liked the number 5. I suppose I was born in 75, so the numbers there, 7 and 5. But an interesting thing I heard about childhood is that there's up until the age of 5, you have the certain type of innocence, and then 6 years old, you progress into another level. And it's interesting, that kind of space where you are. Some people have called me naive. And sometimes I was a bit offended by that. And then I realized, actually, I quite enjoy being in that space, because it helps me to see things a little bit differently. And once I turned those triggers and actually decided, this is who I am, and I enjoy being this person, I enjoy being, you know, a bit ridiculous and sort of, maybe also I was a bit protected as a child to certain things that were going on in the country, because I lived in South Africa, and it was a time where there was apartheid. My mother didn't want us to watch TV because it, and the news, and everything was so distorted, and really it was a hard time. And it was a hard time for just people in general, knowing how to communicate with each other. So I suppose, I don't know how that's come into number five, but it's obviously relevant in some way or another. And I've noticed that when I talk, I kind of ramble in all different areas. But I suppose it's a case of five to me resembles innocence in a way. And I don't know how, but maybe it's through that, you know, after asking myself that question as well, why do I like the number five? Well, what happened when I was 5 years old? What happened when I was six? What, you know, in my years? And I suppose maybe there's always something I've wanted to keep of that innocence in me, because it's a world where there's a lot more possibilities. There's not so much of the conditioning of how we're meant to be and how we're meant to behave. Mm. You know, it's more of a natural, free-spirited way. There it is. That's what five resembles to me.
And I think, you know, people can be so cruel, maybe unintentionally, when they're kind of pointing out things like you're naive or, you know, hypersensitive or all these kind of things that usually get bandied around. But the thing about naivety is it means that you just go for things without the burden of all the what ifs, and it could go wrong this way, and it could, you just still got that essence of wonder and curiosity, mm-hmm. and willingness to learn, like you say, as a young kid, because when as you get older, you kind of take on more responsibilities. Your brain is full of so many ideas, and then also you have experiences of trying things and they not working out, and the judgment or the shame of kind of like failure, and you take smaller steps forward. Whereas when you're naive and you don't know, like occasionally you might put your hand in the fire and then you know not to do it again, but you at least give it, you know, at least you make those steps. So naivety is naivety is a strength trait, you know. If you can maintain that naivety and wonder throughout your life, and I think especially, like you're saying, as an artist, because when you delve into the world of art, you realize that you're not going to get it done in your lifetime, you know.
Spoken by a true artist.
Just like, yeah, I was watching Quincy Jones is like one of my favorite people in music, and I was watching the most recent Netflix interview or documentary that his daughter's done. It was like 2 hours long, and I've read all, you know, all his books, and, you know, love his music from start. He was just like if ever there was someone that was constantly in the right place at the right time, at the right place, meeting all of these people, because, you know, he became best friends with Ray Charles when they were just kids, and they just like grew up together. But then he went and then he did like classical training in France, and then he was part of like the research, the jazz. He was like there at the beginning when it started, and then he did, you know, all the soundtracks, and then he worked with Michael Jackson, and, you know, he's just watching that and, you know, they couldn't have fitted everything in that 2 hours, and you're sitting there going, man, I just like, okay, can I reset and start again? Because where he had got to, and even he was saying at like 80 odd years old, it's like, man, there's still so much to do, you know. So much. And I think that's that surrender of like, there is no end.
Absolutely.
Just, you go on that journey. I mean, I know it's going to be a podcast, but can you talk about the materials that you use, and like how would you kind of visually, how would you explain what you do visually to somebody who was listening? That's probably not fair, but I've...
Well, it's definitely not fair, I think, because I've actually brought some things with me. Even though I'm in my own space, I kind of gathered a few things, and I know that nobody would be able to see this except for us.
Yeah.
But I've actually, so there's a painting behind me, which I decided to choose because it's called Breathing Patterns of Vision.
Mm.
And if you think of what that is, it's what I explained a bit earlier, and which you would know very well about, is that breathing connects us to the all, and it's such a beautiful meditative space to be put in. This was on canvas, and it's just acrylics, and it's all a dotted network. There's a whole story behind it. It was born by accident, which is I think sometimes my best works are happy accidents. Mm. And this one was actually by accidentally knocking a pot of gold dust onto the top over there. And as it knocked over, it just, the way it splattered, it looked like the sunshine. It was really beautiful. It was like, wow, a starburst. And the curtains were open. The sun was streaming through the window. So you cannot believe the sight of that. Just, I had to arch down and just sit in wonder and see the spectacle. And it was just above the canvas. The light was hitting all these little particles of dust.
Mm.
And they looked like worlds within worlds. And I just sat there in awe. And I thought, oh my goodness, I'm breathing this in. I was literally, I could see the little particles coming closer and then going off. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, that always wonder what you're breathing in and what's in this oxygen. And there it was physically before my eyes, I could see everything. And when I literally let the dust settle, I was able to visually paint my experience and that feeling that it gave me. So this is probably one of my most colorful works. And I just wanted to, even though it was just gold, I think was the reflections I was most interested in, that the beautiful colors that were coming through. And the more I sat and concentrated in meditation, the more I could see in these patterns, almost as though the sparkles were going around and you could see the patterns as they were falling as well. They kind of had their own movement, but it was like this sort of organism. Mm-hmm. The way it was falling. So that was one piece, and that's how they kind of, I like them to really create themselves. And then another thing is, on my travels, I collect stones, and this one here, I don't know if you can see that. I picked it up on my travels because it reminded me, it looked like a little human all wrapped up in a cocoon. And so I painted him gold and blue. And this was very close to the time that my partner proposed to me on the beach. So it's a very special piece. And then recently what's been happening is I've formed these pieces that I feel that they've just been generating themselves. And again, the patterns that have been two-dimensional are now starting to take three-dimensional shape, which is so exciting for me, because there are people that understand my art, and when they see it, they really see something in there for themselves. It's not for me to interpret what it is. It's for the viewer to see for themselves or bring out something in themselves. And there's certain people every now and again that say, oh, why don't you draw something real, like a still life or a chair? Or and I find that so hilarious. Yeah, I find it so hilarious because I've been there and I've done all of that. But now with the three-dimensional art, it feels like there is something amazing happening, because it's generating itself and it's showing me what it wants to become.
Mm.
And it's actually mimicking a real object. And I'm going to show you one of my pieces. So this is from a stone I found on the beach. And wow, as it gets closer, it's actually dot after dot after dot. I've painted it every morning and the dots have been growing.
I've got to, let me try and take a picture of this so that I can work out what to do with this later. Because I wouldn't be able to do that any justice by trying to describe it. But so somehow, listeners, we're going to get this up. It'll probably be on my Instagram. So it's almost like you're 3D printed it, but you've painted it.
Yeah.
Is that right? So I got it.
So basically, it's grown. It feels like every day of dotting with acrylic paint. So it's acrylic paint on a stone.
Mm.
And it's actually grown into a coral.
Yeah.
So it's basically a coral from the coral reefs. And I've been creating quite a few of these little pieces. They're very delicate. Mm. I've got a little glass box for them. I'm learning to be very neat and precise because I used to be a complete chaos head. So it's also teaching me to nurture and to look after things and to be delicate with something. And, you know, these pieces will probably, when they find homes, I will have to transport them myself, which mm-hmm. means it's a great opportunity to get to meet someone as well. So, which
I'm it's almost done. Like a gifting as well, like a ceremony of passing it over.
So absolutely. Cool. Yeah. And what it's led to as well is so fascinating. I've started looking at TED Talks and documentaries about the coral reefs and the actual state that they're in with the global warming, with pollution, with so many things that are going on. The corals have actually started bleaching. And this one here, I've done one.
Oh, wow.
I'll send you pictures of
them. Yeah, too.
Because it might be easier for you. So this was a frame I did. And again, the formations are on there. It's like incrustations that have just grown. And that is a definite bleaching coral reef. Luckily, I've heard that they're actually able to now, that there's these super corals that are growing because they're able to adapt to everything that's going on. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people that are so wonderful that are actually, you know, we're able to regenerate these corals. And with a circular economy and looking into plastics and recycling and all of these things, I haven't been the best person with recycling, but I'm learning. And, you know, this is something that the artwork's showing me and teaching. It's actually my artwork is mentoring me, which I find is so fascinating. As a human being, I have a higher self. And yet I'm still a human being and I'm a child and I'm an infant trying to learn how to survive. And at the same time, realizing, you know, I've wanted to make a difference and how can I do this?
Mm.
Well, I think for each of us, it's just about being ourselves and letting our true nature shine through, whatever that aspect of our art that is.
Mm.
So yeah, back to the materials. It's on rocks and growing coral formations and anything I can find, really. I mean, this one, for instance, was a beautiful carving that broke, and so again, the coral started to form on there. And I like the fact that it's kind of. You know, we're in a coral crisis, and if we think of corals as the rainforests of the ocean, then it puts it into perspective. Because actually, I heard on a talk that when you breathe in the first time, you thank the rainforest, the trees for oxygenating, and then the second breath, you thank the coral reefs because most of our planet is made up of ocean. So it's that whole respect going into nature.
That's amazing. That's so beautiful. They're just so stunning and intricate, but they take so much. I mean, if you're doing dot by dot, kind of just talking like on how long does it take you to start to get a form from it. You know, you're dotting each one. So how many dots would build up to a centimeter? Just to kind of get an idea of how much, you know, because sometimes when you forget, when you see like finished pieces of art, yeah, or you hear like a finished piece of music or mm-hmm. animation, that sometimes it's taken somebody like months or years to actually create that thing, and you just kind of look at it, and then like you're saying, people are like, oh, it's not a bowl of fruit, or it's not a face or a hat or a shoe, you know, and not appreciating that sometimes it's someone's like being able to capture, like you can sit there and most people, if like gold, well, not that most people have gold just kind of lying around their house, but most people, if something spilled over, would automatically look at it as a mess and be like, okay, I need to clear this up. Yet the naivety and the artist in you sits down and actually starts to notice on each fleck, not just the gold, but the fact that it's bringing in all of its surrounding colors, and there's such magic in that. And then you can capture that and then create a piece that then people can respond to. And, you know, you're talking about, because people want to understand art, or they want to have an idea of what art should be. Has it ever been important to you that people have understood art of as you have created it, or are you able to let that go fairly soon?
I'm able to let it go now. Probably not in the past. Maybe I didn't really even understand what I was doing a lot of the times. And I think that my mother brought it to my attention, actually. She said, you know, you must be aware of what you're actually painting, because some of the things you're doing are very disturbing. Mm. And I looked at that, and I didn't really even understand it at the time. I actually went through a process of doing Kundalini yoga. Very good friend of mine, dear sister, Kuali, introduced me to yoga, and that was quite a transformative process. So that helped me through a lot of gunk in my life, mm-hmm. clearing out, pulling out all the stuff that was no longer relevant in my life. And that was, you know, a really, really good process for me. It helped a lot with the artwork as well. So yeah, I find that was, again, I've forgotten the question.
I think I was going towards, how, in, you know, people understanding your art, and at what point were you able to allow them to have a different interpretation, even if it was like the polar opposite of what your intention may have been initially?
Okay, so it's basically going back to what I realized it with my artwork, and now I think that it's kind of gone through this, I call it a layering, mm-hmm. because my father taught me to paint very realistically. Then I went through a process of painting surrealistically, which is more dreamlike, dream interpretations, which is sort of my mother's side. Then it went through another sort of peeling back, like an onion skin. And I just kept simplifying and simplifying the artwork until all that was left were dots and lines. Mm. So it's almost like a coding. I feel like it's a sort of, maybe I'm sending messages out to aliens or something. There's the naive child in me.
But why not though?
And, you know? Yeah, absolutely. Because it's fun, and that's it. You know, I think that it's again the process of letting go. And so, when I feel like I'm reaching that stage in my life where actually the artwork is all about fun, I'm not trying to prove a point or make a statement. All I'm doing is living the process. So the process is just as important as the finished piece. Mm-hmm. And when people look at it, the response I've always had is so wonderful, because everyone sees something different. Everyone sees something that they need to see for themselves, because it's meditation. It's come from that place. The whole however many hours it took, has been a meditative process. And I experimented with a few different things in the meditation. So each dot represented a place and time. Each dot was a symbolic of love for different people. That still happens now and again. If somebody really says, you know, I really need a little bit of help right now, or some love, send me some love. Mm-hmm. I express it a lot in the artwork. It feels very helpful for me to be able to feel like I'm actually doing something. And then once the piece is created, I remember that how it's been generated. It's got all those sort of memories in it. So I try and make it as positive as possible. But now it's getting to a stage where I feel very neutral. It's not sad. It's not happy. It's not blissful. It's just a state of being. And it's lovely because it's it feels like I'm going deeper into the meditation. Mm-hmm. And now, as I said, these formations are just, you know, creating themselves and then helping me to relearn. So I like the idea that people see whatever they want to see. And in fact, I think what would be great is one day if I could have an exhibition and different people could be interviewed on what they see and how they, because it's giving people space to feel a part of something and see something for themselves. And rather than even the artist necessarily talking about work, because for me, it's so fascinating to see what other people see in there.
That's a good idea to get, you know, instead of people waiting to see, you know, not understanding it because they don't see a bowl of fruit or a self-portrait or something like that, just allowing them to kind of, because when I see your work, you have to relax before you experience it. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. So with anything, I have to kind of take some time and then look at what I'm seeing and then allow whatever, and like you're saying, messages to aliens. Hey, it could be, you know, whatever it is, you know, there's like areas of it where you've got those like circular movements that could be, you know, that if you're talking about very reminiscent of what you see in crop circles and the messaging that comes through that we don't yet fully understand what that's about as well. So it's a beautiful thing, you know, it's great that you're able to kind of free yourself away from wanting people to go, this is what it is and this is what it's meant to be, because it's open for everyone. And I think it gives people confidence in themselves to not be so intimidated by art, because I think there's a lot of that when it's not something that you recognize and it's like, then what is it? It's like, well, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And only you can decide that. So that's what I'm getting for that as well. So I want to ask you some of the her conversation questions as well.
Yes.
Okay. So the first question is, what is the best piece of advice a woman has ever given to you?
Okay. I've had so many different amazing women in my life, and I feel really grateful for that. And I will just go back to a time where it was the first time I was leaving home, and my mother was saying goodbye, and she gave me a letter, and I opened the letter and I read it, and she gave me a book as well. And I was just going into Africa for 3 months. And she said to me in the letter, be you, be a free spirit. And it's very interesting when I actually thought of that, what it actually meant, because people would say, what religion are you with? And I would say, I'm a free spirit. And it was such a lovely, that was even freeing in itself, because I didn't feel like I'm necessarily tied to anything. I think many religions are very beautiful, and I felt like I was taking pieces of what I felt resonated with me. But then to actually read it from my mum, it was kind of, I know for her, it was even a piece of advice for herself to let go. And that's such a beautiful thing, because I know it must have been very hard for her as well. And I only thought about that over time, actually, when you asked the question. So yes, I'd say that was a really good piece of advice. I used to be spurting around, I'm a free spirit, I'm free. And eventually she said it to me when I left.
And once you've claimed that free spirit, it's actually quite relaxing then as well.
Absolutely.
This is who I am, this is how I feel. And what woman would you say out there represents higher energetic resonance to you?
Again, so many women do. And, you know, mothers, I really take my hat off to mothers. I'd say for now, it's going to be Frida Kahlo, because she's an artist. Firstly, I've always been attracted to not only her work, but who she was as a person. In the 1930s, I mean, what a radicalist, you know, just, it was so beautiful to see this woman who was so determined, nothing was going to set her back from apparently one of her exhibitions she went to, they had to carry her in on her bed because her spine was so disturbed and her legs, but she was determined that she would get to that exhibition. And you know, her art, a lot of her art is quite disturbing as well. She really spoke her truth through her artwork. And I think for that day and age as well, to actually be someone so empowered, she really suffered for her art, and yet her art was her savior as well. It was a really beautiful story. So I love her story. I love who she was, how courageous she was. Even her kitchen had all these beautiful little decorative things. It was very cultural, her dresses. So I chose her because she's got an exhibition at the V&A at the moment, and I have to get over there to see that. I think it'll be really good.
And this is a question that stemmed out of your answer just now. Do you think it's necessary for artists to suffer for their art?
I've been told that plenty of time, and I wanted to kick them in the shins when I heard that. Oh, wow. Okay. You know, I think all the stories I've heard from just about anyone, everyone knows what suffering is. Mm-hmm. I think artists find a doorway, and they're able to just express and release, and you know, you can go through that pain and also dwell in it, because I think a lot of artists can do that, and that's their art. And sometimes I hear myself playing music and it's so beautiful and I love it, and the way they've sung, but it's so sad as well. And then you have artists who are painting things that are really disturbing, but it's part of their life and they're trying to get it out of their system. Or so, you know, I think that if they're without the suffering, there can be no transformation. So you know, that seems like one of the things that we're on this planet to do is to transform and to get more into our state of her.
Yeah. I like that answer. Thank you. Sorry, I know I slipped that in, but you said that, and I'm like, I need to answer. And you know, when you're talking about people who transform or suffer for through their art or for their art, again, I think in recent times, when you think of someone like Amy Winehouse, who was able to just really lay her heart in her music, and she'd lived every single thing. It wasn't just a lyric that was there because it rhymed or because it looked cute. It was like something that had actually happened. And, you know, she came and she burned bright and she burned short, but she left with such a legacy. So another artist.
Absolutely.
And on the flip side of that, what's your self-care, your favorite self-care rituals or practice? How do you pamper yourself?
Well, I'm actually doing that at the moment. I am massaging my feet.
Nice.
And sitting in lotus position. I did a bit of reflexology and some case studies many, many years ago, and it was amazing. I went through the program because I was so skeptical in my youth, and I found out through the practice how our body just, you know, the whole network is all interlinked, and it's incredible how just, you know, massaging even your hands. Like, we work on computers. If you just sit and you're giving yourself self-love, you know, and you're just holding hand in hand, you're actually doing what some people need and don't realize that it's there in an instant. And I know it's not somebody else, but I can actually feel that just by, you know, whole squeezing my fingers. It's massage, but it's also love. So that's really important. And then for women as well, I actually heard about, if you're going to get into a massage routine, it's really good before bed, or in the mornings. You just obviously checking your breasts, but you can massage them as well, and hands, feet. It's just really good to nurture ourselves and to get in touch with our feminine essence. Second thing is, I love to write. I write 3 pages in the morning, and this helps me to get into a really good state of being for the rest of the day. I wake up with a smile, so already I'm set, and that's just natural. I'm happy, you know, I'm happy in life, and it's so nice to reach that stage in my life. I'm youthing. I'm not aging, I'm youthing.
That's good.
That makes a really big difference. I find that, I think it was sort of in my 30s, early 30s, I had just sort of a little bender thinking, oh my God, I'm getting old. And it was when I turned 30, of course. And then I think that's when it formulated. I thought, oh, you know, I need to get over this. I need to get over this whole, I'm only going to get older. So, and then I realized, okay, you need to snap out of this whole idea. And we're all living in that consciousness of, oh, you know, well, we're only going one way and blah, blah, blah. Actually, the more you say it to yourself that, you're resonating, like you've used that acronym HERT, so beautiful, because you're getting in touch with, you know, those words are nurturing, conditioning ourselves to love ourselves again, and therefore love on a grander scale, because we have no idea the power of self-love and how it actually... It's not a selfish thing. It actually, when you give yourself that nurturing space and that time for yourself, you actually watch how you blossom, as your mum said to you, bloom. It's such a beautiful gift, you know, words. What else? There was one other thing, and it was... breathing and tapping into calm spaces. Whenever you feel calm and you in a neutral space, try and to be in that space, especially in this day and age where we just packed full of information all the time. I mean, I open my computer and we're kind of gearing ourselves towards being sort of more self-sufficient, which is great, and starting our own businesses. And, you know, it can be a bit rocky and crazy, but it's beautiful times. It's actually, we've been given the tools, and yet that we're just crammed with information. So the more we can actually just unplug and be in that neutral space of calm, the more we can actually grow as well and focus on what it is we want to focus on.
So true. And so what's coming up next for you now?
What's coming up next? The present moment is coming up next. And this is a very exciting time, exciting space. It feels like, as I said, with this feeling of, you know, a new leaf, a new generation, lots of people are going through this. So I feel that, you know, it's not just me, we all are, and it's a wonderful time. It can probably feel nerve-wracking and bumpy, and there's turbulence, but actually just keep going with that wonderful flow. And I feel like with my artwork, it's taken a bit of a turn, and yet it's something I've been wanting to do since childhood, is work on a more grand scale.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be fascinated with architecture, interiors, and my uncle would come back from New York and he'd show me what he's doing, and I was very fascinated in all sorts of materials. So now, with being aware of the coral reefs and that, keeping nature in mind as well, what materials can we use that are bio resins. I've heard that, you know, I've been waiting and waiting for bio resins, and I can't wait to get my hands on it. I think it's going to be completely revolutionary for artists in particular, and for helping our waste ideally, I can't believe I'm sharing this now, because this was going to be my own private little thing, but I can't help myself. I want to share this because I think for artists, and I've seen other artists doing this as well, and it's such a beautiful thing. If we have the power to express ourselves, how are we going to express ourselves creatively? And I think it's always really lovely to look back at the planet and see how we can make a difference. And it's not necessarily saving the planet. The planet is there and it will save itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother Nature is very powerful. But how can we give back? And if that's with materials or with art or any art form, I'd like to, I think materials for me are a really important one. Because I'd like to see these resins actually, I'm going to build something actually. This is sort of for the future. I've been wanting to do it for quite a while, and right now I'm in an experimental stage. So the corals are one part of it, and the bioresins are the next step. So I have actual resins that I'm working on, but it's the non-bio, so I'm going to be putting the bio on top of that and just letting it grow and create itself. And it's nice that I've started, because I really beat myself up. I thought, oh, why am I using these things? They're so beautiful, but they're not biodegradable, blah blah blah. But I've finally cracked it and realized, well, you know, I think through all of transformation, you know, through the generations, we've all been doing things, you know, none of us are perfect. We all like to experiment with things and see, you know, how we can work with things. I mean, even when plastics were invented, people were so proud of themselves, you know, they're like, oh wow, the next best thing, and had no idea, you know, they just didn't have the foresight to think about what's going to happen with all this stuff. So yeah, something is in formation, and we'll be tuning in again. I hope it'll be good, and sure. Maybe I can show you the next piece.
Absolutely. Yeah. So where can people come and see your work online at the moment? Obviously you don't have an exhibition as yet.
No, I've got a website, so that's www.peshet.com. And then also social media, I haven't been very good with, but Instagram. So if you go onto the website, you'll see Instagram and you can click on it from there because everything keeps updated there.
Mm.
And yeah, I feel that that's my happy place. And yeah, I do commissions as well for people. And usually it's actually having a little chat with someone, and if they're actually wanting to bring something out of themselves, or they're going through something, they want to attract something into their world, then we can actually talk about what it is, and something will actually start formulating then, and they'll draw a little doodle, and then from there actually create the piece for them. So that's one of the things I do. And then also the interiors now as well. So it's kind of branching out in different areas. But yeah, definitely website and Instagram are the two places.
Perfect. That's it, Peshet. Thank you so much for talking to me today. I'm so glad that you did it.
Thank you so much. And thank you for the invite. It's really, really special.
I'm glad.
And wonderful.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks to Peshet for joining me on this episode of her conversations, and thank you for listening. You can discover more about me and the Her Project by visiting my website, carolmaewhittick.com. That's carolmaewhittick.com. And if you sign up for my weekly newsletter, you'll receive information about any offerings from previous guests of the podcast, and also specially curated content from me. On social media, you can find me on Facebook under Carol May Whittick, and my Instagram and Twitter handle is Kazmick, so CAZMICK. I'd also appreciate you leaving a comment, liking and sharing any episodes that you feel the need to do so, and also feel free to subscribe so you'll be notified as soon as a new episode is published. So thank you again. Until the next episode, take care. Bye.